Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday morning, January the 10th, 2022. And once again, my return guest, U.S. tax lawyer, Dubai-based Virginia Latoura-Jeeker, and we are continuing to dissect the expatriation rules with another very, very interesting topic. People want to avoid becoming a covered expatriate. And there are, of course, three ways to be a covered expatriate. One is to have a net worth in excess of $2 million U.S. dollars. The second is U.S. tax liability averaged over a five-year period of more than approximately $170,000 per year. But the third is there is a certification of compliance requirement. And that is what Virginia and I are going to discuss today. Virginia, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing great. The new year has started off well for me, and I hope it has for you too.
Well, podcasts like this are a great way to start the year. So if we look at the statute to kind of set the stage here. Now, this is actually 877, not 877A. Why 877? Because the definition of covered expatriate in 877A simply refers one over to 877A2. And the particular part that is the topic of our discussion today is that such individual, a person's a covered expatriate, if such individual fails to certify under penalty of perjury that he has met the requirements of this title for the five preceding taxable years, or fails to submit such evidence of such compliance as the secretary may require. Well, there's more in that than meets the eye, I think. Would you agree?
Absolutely, John. Every word is critical.
All right. Well, let's dissect some of those words. Fails to certify. Now, what's interesting is the language is a requirement of certification, isn't it? Fails to certify.
Yes.
That he's met the requirements of this title. Well, that means Title 26. By the way, would that mean FBAR? FBAR is Title 31. This says requirements of this title, Title 26. Does the certification include an FBAR certification then?
That's a very good point. I use that as a kind of fallback position if I have a client who's expatriating and who simply refuses to file the FBARs. We warn him, of course, that this will be troublesome, at least in terms of if he gets caught, penalties applying for failure to file the FBAR. But certainly you have a very strong argument that when they say in the statute of this title, it means Title 26, not Title 31 of the Bank Secrecy Act. So if the IRS tried to argue the individual was a covered expatriate because he failed to file FBARs, I would take the IRS to the mat on that issue.
I think that's probably right. Of course, you know, there is still the problem of the FBAR non-compliance, though, but okay.
That's right.
So requirements title for the five preceding taxable years. Now, that's the first part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, to avoid covered expatriate status, you can certify. But the second part is, or fails to submit such evidence of such compliance as the secretary may require. So that seems to give Treasury the authorization to make up their own requirement for certification, right?
I don't know, John. I would argue with you on that. Fails to submit such evidence of compliance. Well, what compliance? Compliance for the five preceding tax years that he, you know, that he has certified about. I don't know how much leeway the IRS really has to craft something additional. What do you have in mind with that?
Well, where I'm going with it is this, that the general view is that failure to file the 8854 would make somebody a covered expatriate. Would you agree?
That is the general view. When you say fails to file, do you mean he doesn't do it at all, or he does it late? Doesn't do it at all, yes.
Okay. All right. So I think that's right. So the failure to file an 8854 at all would make somebody a covered expatriate.
Correct. But and, let me make it clear, the form 8854 is the form where you say you're signing under penalties of perjury that you have been tax compliant for the five prior years. So that's right. The certification form, if you will.
Yes, that is where it is on the form 8854 that one certifies the compliance. I actually read this section to be that it's the latter part, submit such evidence of such compliance as the secretary may require, that allows for the certification on the 8854, or that allows them to require the certification on the 8854. But in any case, what is clear is that the failure to file the form 8854 would make somebody a covered expatriate. But what I want to explore with you today is, so it's one thing to certify compliance, but the question I want to ask you is, does one have to be compliant on the date of expatriation, or can one bring oneself into compliance after expatriation, but before the form 8854 is filed?
Very good question. I have two approaches to this issue. From a planning perspective, if you get a client who comes to you and says, look, I'm thinking of expatriating. I want to make sure I do everything correctly. I need your help. You go through various questions with them. And one of those major questions will be whether they have been tax compliant, at least for the past 5 years prior to their planned expatriation. If they haven't, then the best advice is to bring them into full compliance before they go to the U.S. consulate or embassy and take the oath of renunciation, or before they relinquish their green card in the case of a long-term permanent resident. So you have that case where you can be proactive and take care of things before the plug is pulled on giving up the U.S. tax status. Unfortunately, in the real world, you don't always have that option. We will get clients who come to us who have already expatriated and they have not been tax compliant for the 5 year period prior to that expatriation. So what do you do with that client? Do you say on the form 8854 in the question that asks, have you been tax compliant for the 5 years? Do you say no? Or do you get them compliant? And when the person signs the form, you say, yes, I have been compliant, with the view that the issue of compliance relates to when they are signing the form 8854, they can say under penalties of perjury, yes, I have been fully compliant, because on the date of signing, they indeed have been. I think that is an okay view to take. You can warn the client it may not be accepted by the IRS and they may have some pushback and may suffer the tax consequences of that and be a covered expatriate with all of the doom and gloom that follows. But at least you can try and take the position and have what I call a legal leg to stand on, that it is an acceptable position to take.
Right. Okay, a couple of thoughts I have as I listen to you discuss is the first is that if we look at the definition of covered expatriate, it seems fairly clear that the net worth, the 2 million net worth thing, is determined as of the date of expatriation.
Absolutely. And the language in the statute makes that clear.
Exactly. But
the net worth of the individual as of such date is 2 million or more.
Exactly. But if we look at C, notice that there is no explicit requirement that the person be tax compliant as of the date of expatriation. I would also add, and this is something that's always interested me, is that there's nothing in the language of C that actually requires tax compliance, that one actually be compliant. Notice that the language is a certification of compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually a different thing, because I think one might reasonably ask the question, well, of what happens if you've got a few footfalls in your compliance, and you know, you find out later or something, does that mean your certification was somehow invalid?
I would say to you, John, the U.S. tax laws are so complicated that probably 95% of the tax returns that have been completed for people who are expatriating have some glitch or something missing or something wrong. Not because the people did it on purpose, but there's misunderstandings about the law, there's disagreements about what's required among professionals and so forth and so on. So I think the chances of, despite best efforts, that someone is technically not compliant at the time of expatriation, I think the chances of that happening are great, even though they have filed the tax returns with all due diligence.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I have never read the language in C as a requirement of compliance at all. I actually read it as a clear requirement of certification, but I think that one could reasonably read into that a best efforts as well, recognizing,
of course,
you know, the impossibility of that situation. So, I mean, let's hypothesize an example where, you know, somebody signs off on the certification, et cetera, and then gets audited and, you know, there's a form missing or some sort of mistake. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the person ceases to be a covered expatriate? I wouldn't think so.
You mean he begins to be a covered expatriate?
Yeah, well, I don't think it would automatically make them a covered expatriate, you know, if there were a mistake. I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make here. Again, I emphasize that everything you read about this on the internet or you listen to tax practitioners talk about, and they say there's a 5-year compliance requirement. That is actually not what the statute says, interestingly. Now, I would agree that the IRS in Notice 2009-85 seems to interpret it as a compliance requirement. Would you agree?
Yes, they do.
But that is not what the statute says at all, which, you know, again, very, very interesting on this. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons why one can argue that this cannot be interpreted to mean compliant on the date of expatriation. And one of them is, for example, last week on January the 5th, I was working with somebody who expatriated. Well, you know, obviously 2021 would be one of the 5 preceding years. There's no possibility of having a filed a tax return for 2021 yet, right?
That's right.
So, you know, that's a clear example of where compliance itself is actually impossible. But certainly the certification of compliance at the time that the 884 is filed is possible.
That's right.
Another aspect of this that I think is interesting is that the IRS is requiring the 8854 as a condition to avoid covered expatriate status. But the directions also say that the 8854 is to be filed at the time the final tax return is filed, the final dual status return is filed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the certification is to take place on the form 8854 and the 8854 is effectively effectively required after the date of expatriation, then it seems to me to lend itself to the argument again in another way that one needs not be compliant on the date of expatriation. Would you agree?
Yes. I think that's a fair statement.
Practically speaking, though, the advice, if at all possible, do your best to be compliant on the date of expatriation, because at least you know what's required. Agreed?
That's correct. That's always the best advice, is to be proactive and get this tax compliance in order before you do anything.
Okay. How big of a problem in your practice do you find this for people?
Actually, John, I don't see many who have already pulled the plug before they come to me. Typically, they come to me with a clean slate, and we do need to get most people tax compliant, because even if they have filed tax returns, I have my colleagues do a complete independent review of those tax returns for the 5 years prior to expatriation to make sure everything is in order. And as I said, despite best efforts, it's really almost inevitable you're going to find something missing or something was not fully reported properly. So we fix up the tax returns. That can be, you know, even done perhaps through the streamlined foreign offshore program. And no penalties will be imposed for the amendments, et cetera. So we get the people tax compliant, and then they go forward with their expatriation plans. I very rarely have someone who's come to me already having pulled the plug. Although having said that, I have had a few of them, you know, last year, in fact. So I don't know. Maybe the numbers are going to be increasing, that people are so anxious to get out of US citizenship. And maybe they saw things happening with how difficult it was to get an appointment at the consulate or embassies. These were people who were flying all over the globe to find a consulate or embassy that would take them. And I think because of this hustle bustle due to COVID closures, maybe people were not being as careful as they otherwise would have been to make sure their tax returns were in order before they got the expatriation proceedings done. Many felt probably they had no choice. They got an appointment and they were so happy to get to a consulate that they jumped at the opportunity.
Yeah, I think in the way the world is today, they absolutely have to take the appointment when they get it. And any attempt of, you know, rescheduling or can I do it another day is probably very ill-advised.
Yep.
You know, Virginia, continuing thinking about this, you know, you have an article, a very good article coming out of Bloomberg on this, which I look forward to reading. But you had mentioned, I think, another excellent point on the question of the timing of the certification. What if we were to consider the reality of the 2019 relief procedures for former citizens, right? How does that reality factor into this?
Well, I looked at these relief procedures as giving us strength to the argument that tax compliance is not mandated at the time of expatriation, but you can have tax compliance at the time you sign the form 8854. The relief procedures, just to explain a little bit, the Internal Revenue Service has certain relief procedures in place to help individuals who have already expatriated, even if they have a US tax filing history, but who failed to file the Form 8854, or even individuals who failed to file the Form 8854, but also failed to be fully tax compliant at the time they expatriated. So just to be clear, these relief procedures are looking at individuals who have in fact already pulled the plug, so to speak, on their US tax status. And they're saying, if you're one of these people who failed to file the Form 8854, and you also failed to be fully tax compliant, we have procedures in place that will relieve you from being treated as a covered expatriate. So that means these people, if they qualify for the procedure, can escape all of the horrible tax consequences that come along with the toxic status of being a covered expatriate. So I looked at these relief procedures as saying to me, if the IRS can give such relief, then the full tax compliance need not be met as of the date of expatriation under the law, let's say, because if the law mandated, and it was clear that it mandated you had to be tax compliant as of the date of expatriation, then these relief procedures to me would be beyond the permissible scope of the statute itself. And the IRS
wouldn't. In other words, the relief procedures are jurisdictionally possible only if one does not have to certify compliance as of the date of expatriation.
Absolutely.
And this is strengthened by the fact that the relief procedures need to include a copy of the CLN.
That's correct. Yeah. So it's, to me, this makes the tax law abundantly clear that you don't have to have tax compliance on the date of expatriation. And I think furthermore, the fact that the IRS has these relief procedures in place shows me that they don't have a fixed and clear stance on this issue. Although I will say, I am hearing from some of my tax colleagues when expatriates are being audited. Now, this is a hot spot for the IRS. It's a current campaign that the IRS has in place to audit those who are expatriating or those who have expatriated. If any of these individuals are getting caught up in an audit, that the IRS is taking the position they had to be tax compliant on the date they gave up their US status. So, you know, it sounds like it's a mess. And it sounds as if you cannot resolve these issues at the IRS level, it is possible they may only be resolved at the end of the day through litigation.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but well, you know, the state of the world today, what we're saying is if people can get an appointment to expatriate, they're jumping at it, right? And because of the extreme lack of any embassies or consulates willing to actually provide the expatriation service, you know, giving citizens a chance to give up their citizenship, that if someone does get a consulate appointment, they may not be ready from a tax perspective, but they're too anxious to give up their citizenship. They don't know what may happen next, how long it could be delayed. So there's a lot of practical considerations that come into play here.
Absolutely. Well, this has been great. And I think that this is so complicated, it might be worth a bit of a summary here. So I think that where we have sort of come out on this is, obviously, if at all possible to be compliant as of the date of expatriation, that's the way to go, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Two, it is a certification requirement, not a requirement of actual compliance. That said, it seems fairly clear that the law should be interpreted to allow one to come into compliance between the expatriation and the filing of Form 8854. Three, best efforts obviously are in order, but you and I both know that 100% compliance with this stuff is a virtual impossibility. And finally, the very existence of the 2019 relief procedures for former citizens seems to reinforce that compliance can take place after the expatriation. Have I got that right? Does that seem reasonable summary?
Yes, I think it's a very good summary, John. And we will give all of the readers, you know, access to my article on this, and they can follow up with the various hyperlinks to review many of the points we've discussed in today's talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, Virginia, this has been great. And I have a suggestion for our next one, since we're slicing and dicing the law of expatriation. Why don't we, for the next one, talk about exactly what the $170,000 year on average thing, in other words, which taxes are actually included in that, because it's not all taxes, okay? It's only certain kinds of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Till next time then. Actually, in closing, do you want to give the coordinates for your blog and all that great stuff?
Oh, sure. I have a whole category on expatriation, which can be accessed by looking at the categories page of my tax blog, which can be found at www.us-tax.org. O-R-G.
All right, Virginia. Thanks very much. It is a very cold day today in Canada, by the way. Very cold. What's happening in Dubai?
It's not too cool by, you know, standards that you're looking at, but for me, it's a little bit nippy.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. And we will connect again very soon.
Okay. Thank you, John. Have a good one.